Amen. Thank you, Lord. So we're working together now. Praise God. Makes all the difference in the world. 2 Corinthians 10:12. Let's go there this morning. Second Corinthians 10, verse 12. Everybody there? It says, "For we dare not class ourselves or compare ourselves with those who commend themselves, but they, measuring themselves by themselves and comparing themselves among themselves, are not wise." And I want to talk to you this morning about comparing yourself with other people. We all have a race to run. We all have a course to finish on this earth. And we're all different. And ultimately, that race and that course should come from the Almighty. It's not us. It's not something that we're supposed to dream up. That doesn't mean, you know, we shut our brains up. No, God gave us a brain, but He didn't give us a brain to reason against Him or against His plan or out of His plan. He gave it to us to function on this earth in line with His will. First of all, we need to get in line with His will and then walk that out. And there's no use in looking at what other people are doing. I'm not saying we can't learn from other people. I'm saying don't get fixated on other people. And certainly the devil would love you to start comparing yourself with what others are doing or with the call somebody else has. Let's read this in a couple translations before we go on. On your sheet there, in the Amplified, second part of that verse says, "However, when they measure themselves with themselves and compare themselves with one another, they are without understanding and behave unwisely." They are without understanding. Comparing yourself is without understanding. You're behaving, you're acting ignorant. You don't know what that will do to you and the ramifications of it. They are without understanding and behaving unwisely. Notice that? That's behaving unwisely. Although, how many times have you been in a conversation with somebody, somebody brings up somebody else's name? Well, what about what this person is doing? I don't know. And what does it sound like? Like they're wise. But Bible says that's unwise. Don't compare yourself to other people. Don't concern yourself with God's servant. That's not a place you want to be in. You do not want to be the judge of another person. If His servant, do not even go there. I'm telling you, God will straighten them out. God will deal with them. But you do not need to be in that position. You don't want to be there. Some people, I do not understand some of the websites and some of the people that think it's their ministry to basically criticize and analyze other ministers. That's not in the Bible. Now, there is correction and reproof, but it's not done in a public setting where, hey, I'm just going to tear these people down. That's a dangerous place to be.
That's right.
Wow, that's dangerous. This is my ministry, and I'm going to tear down somebody that's getting people saved and filled with the Holy Spirit and healed. We ought to work together,
right,
not against you. If somebody is pointing people to Jesus and they're getting saved, they're doing something right. We may not all agree every little bit of doctrine or whatever, but just preach the truth and let that straighten. You know, if you're a pastor or a leader, that's one thing. Yes, you deal with certain things. You still don't have to speak against people when you do it. You just preach what the Bible says and let the Holy Spirit straighten stuff out. And if somebody has a specific thing with some person and comes and asks you a question, hey, we deal with that one-on-one, but we don't have to speak against people. And we don't have to compare ourselves with people. It's a lie. Satan loves it. If you can get your eyes on somebody else, let's read this in the God's Word translation. "Certainly when they measure themselves by themselves and compare themselves to themselves, they show how foolish they are." That puts it pretty blunt. You're a fool if you do that. I don't want to be a fool. But you basically what he's saying is when you do that, you're showing that you're a fool, that you're not understanding something, that you're ignorant of something. You know, you can show in an answer to a question exactly where you are without actually, you know, talking anything about a certain condition in your life. But by your answers, you can tell people all kinds of stuff. We can do it all the time. We reveal things about ourselves just by the way we answer questions, just by the way, and some people think they're concealing things by answering a certain way, and really you're just like an open book. People say, oh, I know where you're coming from, you know? What God is saying here through Paul, Holy Spirit, through Paul, is that when we compare ourselves, we are showing how foolish we are. We're showing that we've fallen into a trap. We don't need to worry about what the other person's doing.
Right.
We don't. It may be tempting. Oh, I've been there. Oh, you want to you just want to look and talk about it or what? But it's a fool's game. And not only that, you think, I'm telling you how quickly it comes back around. When you'll judge somebody or you'll start comparing, if you start comparing where you think, and this is all pride, you start thinking somebody's beneath you, but you're comparing, oh, how fast it comes back to where you're comparing yourself. The devil will knock you over the head with somebody where you're not as far in your eyes. You start thinking, well, I'm better than this person. Oh, I'm doing better than this person. Ooh, that's a double-edged sword. So quickly, it'll come back around to where the devil's knocking you over the head about you not being where somebody else is. Watch it. I've been there. You don't want to mess with it. Just worry about, not worry, but concern yourself with what God has called each and every one of us to do. If you'll do that, you'll be on solid ground. It's solid ground. Just you run your race. Galatians 6:2. Let's just look at that on your scripture sheet for the sake of time. Galatians 6:2. For if anyone thinks himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. Somebody said the easiest person to deceive is yourself. I think it's probably pretty true. But let each one examine his own work, and then he will have rejoicing in himself alone and not in another, for each one shall bear his own load. We don't need to concern ourselves with what somebody else is doing. It is so easy. Anybody can be critical. It doesn't take anybody smart to do that. Anybody can be critical of somebody else. You know, they have critics for every type of thing. Movies, books. It's one thing to be a critic, and I'm not knocking people that do that professionally. I mean, there is a place for certain types of criticism. But what I'm saying is it's one thing to do the work. It's another thing to tell what's wrong with it. It's one thing to Monday morning quarterback. It's another thing, you know, when you guys got guys rushing at you and to get the pass off and in the right direction and as accurate as they do. Most people couldn't hold a candle to what those people do every day, but it's easy to criticize them, right? Well, they should have done it here. Yeah, well, that's easy to say when you don't have a 300-pound guy rushing at you and you're trying to dodge him and get the ball down there in between all the... It's a lot different game. But, nevertheless, it's easy to fall into. 1 Corinthians, let's read this on your sheet too. 1 Corinthians 4:6 says, now these things, brethren, I have figuratively transferred to myself and Apollos for your sakes, that you may learn in us not to think beyond what is written, that none of you may be puffed up on behalf of one against the other. See, that happens too. We can take sides with somebody against somebody, and we don't even know the situation. That's a trap too. Somebody comes and tells you, well, you know, so-and-so did this, and you get offended with that person against another person, and you don't even know the situation. That's dangerous. Now you see the person that this other person's offended against, and you're offended. And they didn't even do anything to you. What does the Bible say? If you have something against somebody, you ought to go to them, right?
Yeah.
If they have something against you, if you have a problem, you go to the person. Not proclaim it. Not tell everybody how bad somebody's being. You ought to go to the person. It takes a real man or woman to do that. Much more so than talking about somebody. Amen? For who makes you differ from another, and what do you have that you did not receive? Now, if you did indeed receive it, why do you boast as if you had not received it? He's saying, what makes you different from another person? What do you have that you didn't receive? You know, somebody get all concerned with looks. I mean, you can do something with what you have. You can keep in condition, but I'm telling you, there's only so much you can do with what you were given to begin with.
That's just arrogance.
It is. Certain things, you know, kids get all bent out of shape with this. You know, in high school, it's just, and the things they're looking at are just fairy tales anyway half the time. You know, airbrush stuff, but whole nother subject. But now, if you did indeed receive it, why do you boast as if you had not received it? In other words, everything you have has been given to you in some way. Why are you getting haughty about the fact that you can do something that was given to you? Especially in spiritual things. If you're doing what God told you to do and somebody else is doing what God told them to do, who are you to boast, or who is anybody to boast? Why should you compare yourself with somebody else when they have a different assignment than you?
That's right.
Why? Who are you basically judging at that point? You're judging God's judgment. And that goes both ways. If we look down upon ourselves, well, I'm not this, and I'm not as good as somebody. So, you know, we can learn from other people, but you know, it's another form of pride that Satan can use to try to keep you off your destiny. Happens all the time in music. And I was at Rhema. You know, it's a big stage. You know, the auditorium seats 4,500 people. And so there's a lot of, you know, you get involved in the music. And I'm just telling you, with anything like that, and I've been involved with smaller things as well, but it doesn't matter. Somebody can be really good at something. Voice, playing an instrument, whatever. But man, there's something that people just want to compare ourselves. And somebody, if they think in their mind is better in the room than them, well, I don't want to play, you know. I just don't know if I'm any good. And be so concerned about it because there's somebody else better. If God's called you to do something, you do it and do what God's called you to do regardless of who else is in the room. Amen. We just need to that takes humility to do that. You may not be the best in the world. In fact, there's very few people that are the best in the world. There's always somebody better except for just a few people that are going to be at the pinnacle. And if you're talking about any given area, yeah, there's going to be one person that is the best. And that's a subjective thing in a lot of areas. But there's always somebody better. Man, in the bigger pond you swim in, you see people that are better and better, and that gets narrow and narrow. You talk about music and stuff. But that really, in one aspect, is irrelevant. Because if God's asked us to do a certain thing, we ought to do that to the best of our ability with what He's given and just run our race and not worry about the person that we think is better. We don't know what's going on in their life. We don't know the things they have to deal with. Right. Just don't concern yourself.
Right.
You may think you want to switch places with somebody, but if you knew what was behind the scenes and what that person dealt with on a daily basis, you might change your mind.
That's right.
Oh, this goes for personality types and things too. Oh, you know, half the time, most of the time we marry somebody that's opposite of us. Why? Because we're attracted to the things that we like in them that we don't have. But then you marry somebody, you get to live with them, and you find out what the other side of that coin is like, right? With all those things come some things you maybe don't like so much. And then you're happy that you're like a certain way in those areas, but you know, you still wish you were more like this in other areas. And you know what? We're all human. Nobody's perfect. Nobody has an area, you know, they don't have it all together. And so, we ought to just be enjoying who we are. Don't compare yourself with the next, well, I'm a better speaker than that person. Or, well, I'm more organized than this person. Well, good. Probably somebody that's better than you in both of those areas. We ought to just say, that's a fool's game. Just say, God, I'm just going to focus on what I can do, and I'm going to live for you and do as well as I can. And if you're dealing with me to come up in a certain area, I'm going to come up, and I'm just going to put blinders on to the other people.
That's right. It's good.
And just run. That frees you up to run your race. Now let's turn over to Romans 12. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I just believe God's encouraging us today. He's encouraging, He's speaking to us along these lines. Just receive it. Romans 12, 3. For I say through the grace given to me to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, but all the members do not have the same function, so we, being many, are one body in Christ and individually members of one another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, we'll come back to that, let us use them. If prophecy, let us prophesy in proportion to our faith, or ministry, let us use it in our ministering. He who teaches in teaching, he who exhorts in exhortation, he who gives with liberality, he who leads with diligence, he who shows mercy with cheerfulness. But what do you say in verse 6? Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us. What grace there? It's an endowment. It's a gift. It's an enablement to do certain things. We're all graced to do what God has called us to do. He calls. He tells you what to do. And with that telling what to do is everything, the empowerment and the enablement to get it done. Amen? Yes. I'm going to say that again. When God tells you to do something, everything that you need, the enablement and the empowerment to do that is included in that command to do. So if He gives you something to do, He has given you the grace and the ability to do it. Now, you may not see it. You may not feel it. It may look like you're being called to do something that you're not able to do. That has nothing to do with it. Because if God told you to do it, He knows better than we do. He knows what's in us, and we have to trust Him and walk in faith that, God, what you said, I will do, and I can do it. If we don't do that, you know, if we do like Moses saying, God, but, you know, I can't go speak. You've seen my speaking ability. Surely you have the wrong person. That does not bless God. God was not happy with that response. No, some people say, oh, well, you know, I guess. What are you saying? God, you don't know what you're talking about. I know me better than you. That's wrong. He knows. And so we just need to say, God, if you said it, man, I'm going to do it and I'm going to run my race. So if that's the case that whatever He said we can do, then that's the way it is with everybody. Everybody ought to be doing what He said to do. Now, not everybody is doing what He said to do. They may be doing their own plans, maybe doing their own pursuits, maybe doing something that God didn't tell them to do, but maybe they have a natural ability to do that. Billy Graham, you know, said my biggest concern is that I was supposed to be like a plumber or something, and I missed God. And you say, how could that be with as many people as He got saved? It doesn't matter how many people He got saved. I mean, those people are blessed, yes, but if we don't do what He told us to do, we've missed it. I don't care how many accolades we get, we've missed it. Because the commander-in-chief, the creator, the highest authority in the universe asked us to do something and we discount it and say, I don't think I'm able to do that, or I'd rather do this, we've missed it. Yeah. So we ought to do what He told us to do. We ought to. Now, it doesn't matter. I mean, that's the way it ought to be with people. When we're talking about somebody else, they ought to be doing what God called them to do. If that's the case, what's the use of comparing ourselves with them? Because if God asked them to do something, and He's enabled them to do that, what business is it of ours to determine or compare ourselves with them, how they're doing it? And if it's in the same area that we're doing, there's no use in comparing their walking out their grace with us walking out our grace. Our only concern is, am I doing what God called me to do? And am I doing it to the best of my ability? And God, do you have anything more that you'd like me to add? Now, you look at somebody and you may say, hey, I could learn from them. There's nothing wrong with that. That's different than comparing yourself with them and saying, yeah, well, I'm better than them, or they're way better than me, and so I stink. So, you know, if I'm not as good as them, I might as well just give it up. That's a tactic of the enemy. Well, you're not as good as so-and-so, so you might as well just quit. What's the end result? Quit. He doesn't care how you do it. He'll use any type of tactic. That's just one of them. Quit. Amen? We ought to just say, God, what do you want me to do? What's the area that you have called me to do? If I know that area, then you have graced me to do it. And if you've graced me to do it, I'm going to walk in that area, do it, and I'm not going to worry about what anybody else is doing.
That's right.
Or saying. There's freedom in that. Let's turn over to Ephesians. Thank you, Lord. Ephesians 4:11. And he gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers. Right there, who gave? He himself gave. Okay? You can't make yourself any of those things or anything else, really. We ought to do what he called us to do. Verse 12, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we should no longer be children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men in the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting, but, speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ. This is where I wanted to get to. Verse 16, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part of the body, does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. Let's read verse 16 again. From whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. What's it saying? If we're all doing our part, we're all the body of Christ, right? He's the head. We're the body. When he was on earth, he's the head and the body, and he had it all. But now, we, all those graces, all those enablements have been divided up in the body of Christ. So if every part of us, every one of us, will get into what we ought to be doing, then the body will be edified, then the body will grow up, and it will nourish itself. And that's the way it ought to be. So if God is telling us to do a certain part, we have no business saying, well, I'd rather do this part over here. If he's made us a finger, you know, yeah, but I'd rather be a toe. It doesn't matter. If whatever he's called us to do, that's, you have basically two choices. You can do what he called you to do or not. And there's variations, of course, in that. You can sort of do what he called you to do and sort of do it not. But really, you're either doing what he called you to do or you're not. And if we are, then we just walk and do what we're supposed to do, and let, if we're a finger, let the toes worry about the toes.
Yeah,
my fingers, I mean, I know it's different, and I know they don't have brains, but my fingers don't have anything to do, generally speaking, with what my toes are doing. I know they're connected in a way, and I may, you know, clip my toenails or something like that, but generally speaking, they function over here, my fingers do. My toes are functioning down here. They don't need to worry about each other. They just need to do their job.
That's good. Now,
who's controlling it all? My head. Can my head clip my toenails? No. On this earth, Jesus is getting his work done through his body. So he needs us to be where we're supposed to be at the right time, in the right place, doing what we're supposed to be doing and not doing what we think we want to do what somebody else is doing, or not think we, you know, not doing what we think would be a great job. If we do that, people are out of place, and the job doesn't get done as it should be. Now, God will get his job done, don't get me wrong. He'll get it done, but we want to be in the right place and be doing what he called us to do, so when we get done, it's well done, good and faithful servant. And there's no, and we're going to talk about, there's no reason why we can't be in the right place. The danger is just that by comparing, if you don't take anything else home today, just don't worry about what anybody else is doing. Don't compare, because comparing leads itself to getting you off what you're supposed to be doing. It's a tactic. If you're comparing, fool. Just take that home. I'm not going to compare with somebody else. I don't want to be a fool. I want to be on track with God. Look on your scripture sheet. It says Philippians 2:12 there says, "Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who works in you to both to will and to do for His good pleasure." Number one, who's working in you? It's God. Now, why is He working in you? Both to will and to do for your good pleasure? No, for His. Why are we here still? It's because He's got a job to do. Go ye. Once this thing, once we've said this several times in the last weeks, but, and you heard Reverend McCallum teach on it, but once the gospel is preached in all the world, then the end will come. That's why we're here. That's it. What, otherwise, if we're the family of God and we're not citizens of earth, but we're citizens of heaven, why are we here? Let's just wrap this thing up and go home. Get rid of this old body. Be done with it. Because there's other people that need to come into the family.
Yes.
And to get that done, we all have a job and we all have orders and we all have a position. And it's important and it's vital. Somebody's life is hinging on it.
Right.
It's not light matter. It's serious. That's why we're still on the earth. And God is working in us to will and to do of His good pleasure. He is working in us to work out His will in the earth.
Right.
Not our will. Oh, we should just keep that in mind. Anytime something comes up that God's asking us to do that we think we don't really want to do. It's not my job to determine the orders. I just do them.
That's right.
I know some people don't like that. You know, some people just want to go wherever, and just if they get offended at a church or they don't like what's going on, they just leave. It ought not be like that. We ought to find out where we're at, where we should go from Him, and go there and hook up and do what He's called us to do, and just walk on and not worry about what everybody else is doing, and not worry about if it's comfortable or not. We ought to have more of a soldier mentality.
That's right.
Paul did.
That's right, he did.
Hallelujah. Paul went through all kinds of stuff, and he did what Jesus, the head of the church, asked him to do. And the devil just, well, you know, he'll just knock your flesh or your mind. Well, so-and-so is doing this. That looks way more fun than what you're doing. I mean, we appreciate you anyway. You hear that type of talk? That's the enemy. He's trying to get you off your course. Just mark it, just chalk it up. That's what's happening. How's that happening? You're looking outside your lane, getting ahead of myself a little bit. We're running a race. We need to be focused on our lane. That's why those horses have blinders on, so they don't look to the side, to left and right. They're not distracted by something else. We look straight to what He's given me a course. I see the finish line.
That's right.
I'm going there. Not that I don't care about you, but I don't care what you're doing. This is, unless you're hooked up with me, I'm going there.
That's good.
I'm going for that finish line. I'm not going to concern myself with what you're doing or with what you're doing. That doesn't say we work together. Don't get me wrong. We're all body, the body of Christ. We're going to work together. We are concerned with each other. We ought to love one another, but we don't let it distract us and get us off.
That's right.
In a bad way. There's a difference between working together and comparing yourself with somebody else. You know, I work a secular job. I'm a software engineer. And I don't concern myself with what the electrical engineers are doing. Unless it affects software. Or the mechanical guys. Or the marketing side of the building. They do a certain job. I'm not supposed to do their job. If I do, I'm not going to be as qualified. And I'm just going to mess stuff up. It's the same way. We understand that in the natural. Or we should. A lot of people get in trouble in companies when they try to go and do the job that they're not assigned to do. Nobody likes that. You know you don't like it. Somebody that isn't in your area trying to tell you how to do your job. Nobody likes that. We do it in the body of Christ all the time. And think we know how to do everybody else's job. No, we don't. We may know some things. I'm not saying we don't know. We could see some things. If we see some things, we ought to pray for the people. Just pray for them. We're all supposed to be in this thing together. Hallelujah. Let's turn over to Ephesians 1. Thank you, Lord. Ephesians 1, verse 15, we were talking about these prayers earlier in the announcements, but verse 15, therefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for the saints, do not cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. Now, what's he praying? He's asking that the eyes of their understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling. What is the hope? What is the expectation of his calling? So we can pray these things for ourselves. If we're not sure we're in the right place, ask God to show you and say, God, where am I supposed to be? What do you want me to do? What's my calling? And he's faithful and true to get you there. Just ask for that like you do anything else. Say, God, show me. Show me where I need to be. Let's turn over to Colossians, similar scripture. Thank you, Lord. Some of this may come off kind of strong. If it's coming off strong some people may need to hear it strong. But if it's not, if you're right where you need to be, don't worry about it. You know what I'm saying? God, if there's a warning that we don't want to get over in the place where we don't need to be. But if you're not there, just keep doing what you're doing. And just stay away from the areas. Sometimes people, they hear something strong, they're like, well, I'm doing everything I can. It's not for you then. But God will, we've talked about that several weeks ago, God will correct us and straighten us out, though. And he's not, don't want to get off the subject, but you know, God's a loving God. He's nice, but he's not wishy-washy either, man. If you need to be on the right track, he's going to, for your sake, say, buddy, get over here. You need to be over here. You're in the wrong area. You need to be over here. He's going to do that as strong as he needs to do that to get you where you need to be. But if it's not you, then just don't let it be you. Amen? The Holy Spirit is the teacher. Now, God is so gracious and merciful. Boy, he puts up with us. He's long-suffering. Oh, man. Let me tell you. The Word says he is long-suffering. His mercy endures forever. Oh, he is good. So, you know, just go to him. Get your plan, his plan for you, and walk it out. And just enjoy doing it. Okay, Colossians 1, verse 9. For this reason, we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you, to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will. That goes for everything. His will in your life and in healing and relationships and everything, but also deals with his will in your life for what is his specific plan for you. To ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you'd understand spiritually what you need to do, where you need to be, that you'd have spiritual discernment. That's walking in the Spirit. When you're more aware and concerned with spiritual things than you are natural, you are walking in the Spirit. Right now, you can be more attuned to spiritual things, and sometimes we don't realize it in a service where things become really clear, and you start to see certain things. That's because you're more concerned with spiritual things at that point. The thing is, we don't want to just let that go. If God's dealing with you on something in a service or when there's certain things going on, yield to that. Act on it. Look at it. Because when you get out and you go to lunch and everything, sometimes stuff starts to fade and you're just concerned with natural things. And you can start to doubt. I just don't know. Was that me? That's why we need to just be attuned to Him. Verse 10, so what does He say? Verse 9, "For this reason, we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of His will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing Him, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God." That you may walk worthy of Him. So what's He saying? That Paul is praying that you would know His will for you, that you would walk worthy of the Lord, that in that will you be walking as you ought to walk, that you just be full of the knowledge of what you're doing is the right thing, that you're on the right track, that you're going down the right place, that God has called you, that He's equipped you, that He's enabled you, He's destined you, and that you'll be fruitful in every good work, and you'd be increasing in the knowledge of God all the while. That's God's will for us. Just to keep going up, just to walk with Him, just to keep our knowledge of Him just keeps going up and up, and it's going to continue to do that for eternity. We're never going to just get to where, well, subject to God, done with that. Not going to happen. He's infinite. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Look on your sheet there, Hebrews 13:20. We're going to read this in the New King James, but then read it in the Amplified because it's awesome in the Amplified. Hebrews 13:20 says, "Now may the God of peace, who brought up our Lord Jesus from the dead, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you complete in every good work to do His will, working in you what is well-pleasing in His sight." See, whose sight is it? Who are we supposed to be walking after? His. His. Just, we concern ourselves with what He's doing in His business. Now what Jesus said? I have to be about my Father's business. In you, verse 21, make you complete in every good work to do His will, working in you what is well-pleasing in His sight through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Now in the Amplified, this is just awesome. We read this a few weeks ago. In a sermon a few weeks ago. This is another thing that we pray for you. Verse 21 is just awesome. Now, verse 20. "Now may the God of peace, who is the author and the giver of peace, who brought again from among the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, by the blood that sealed and ratified the everlasting agreement or covenant of testament. Now may that God," here's what he's getting to, "strengthen, complete, perfect, and make you what you ought to be, and equip you with everything good, that you may carry out His will, while He Himself works in you and accomplishes that which is pleasing in His sight, through Jesus Christ the Messiah, to whom be glory forever and ever, to the ages of the ages. Amen," or so be it. That's what Paul's saying. Or it's not, you know, Apostle Paul may or may not have written the Hebrews. Many think he may have. But he's praying this, saying, "Now may this be." Let's read it again. "Now may the Lord strengthen, complete, and perfect, and make you what you ought to be, equip you with everything good, that you may carry out His will, while He Himself works in you and accomplishes that which is pleasing in His sight through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever, to the ages of ages. Amen." So he is saying that God, that you would know what God has called you to do, that you be equipped and able to do everything that God has called you to do, that He'd make you complete and perfect and equip you to do everything. So God is fully willing, fully able to get across to us what we need to do in our lives. And as He's doing it, that's all we need to be concerned with. If we'll just concentrate on these things, not comparing ourselves with this guy or some other person, just put that all out and just focus on this right here. God, I am just wanting to be complete and perfect. I want to be all that I ought to be. I want to be equipped with everything good that I may carry out Your will. And You're working in me and accomplishing that which is pleasing in Your sight, Lord. I just want to be full of that. And if we'll make that our focus, other things don't distract us. What other somebody else is doing, you just pray that the eyes of their understanding be enlightened so they can run their race, because we need them. And we need this gal over here. You need to be in your place. So I'm just going to pray for you. That's what we want with our fellow believers. Just, I want you to be running your race. But as for me, I'm going to concern myself with running my race, because I can't do anything for you running your race except pray that you see how your race ought to be run, because that's not my business. That's His business. So let's close with this. We kind of said some of this before, but Hebrews 12. Let's turn over there. Hebrews 12. Oh, the devil's a liar. He's a liar. Tries to defeat and discourage people before they get started, because they say, yeah, but look in so-and-so. You'll never be there. You'll never be as good as them. You might as well not even start. Now, would God ever tell you that? So why does the devil want you not to start? Because he must know what he just said is a lie, which is basically everything that comes out of his mouth. If he tells you not to do something, and it, you know, if it's a negative, if it's God telling you not to do something, you better heed. But there's a difference between the voice of the enemy and the voice of God. If it's negative and it's something you want to do for God and you hear this voice, you probably won't. You're never going to mount to that. You're never going to be able to do that. You might as well not do it. You can just pretty much take it to the bank. You can go do that. I mean, if God's told you to do it, you feel like God's telling you, and then you get resistance. The devil's a liar. Why is he telling you not to do something? Because he's scared that if you go down that path and you start doing it, you're going to turn into something that he cannot handle. Because if it's what God's told you to do, then you're already equipped and enabled and empowered to do it. You're graced to do it. And if you'll walk down that road, that means you're walking in the will of God for His kingdom. And if you're walking for God's kingdom, you're taking a chunk out of the enemy's kingdom. And He does not like that. So way back over here, He's going to start telling you, you can't do it. Look at so-and-so, and get you to be a fool and compare yourself to so-and-so. See, there's nothing but harm that can come out of that. Right. Nothing but harm. So don't even, I know it's tempting sometimes, but don't even go down there, because you're just giving place to the devil. Right. Hebrews 12. Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses. Who are those cloud of witnesses he's been talking about in Hebrews 11, the faith chapter, all these people that have gone before us? They're in the grandstands in heaven. We don't know what all they see, you know of our lives, but it seems evident that they probably don't know every detail, but they know when spiritually that we're doing something for God. So there, we're surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses in the grandstands that have gone on, that have run their race, that can't come to back to where you and I are. We are on the earth. You realize those people in heaven, they can't come back, regardless of what people see, they think and believe about spirits come back. They can't come back. They can't do anything about their decisions here. We're the ones that can run our race right now. Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight. Comparison and distraction would be a weight. And the sin which so easily ensnares us. Sin is missing the mark. Of course, there's things that you do overtly, but if you're comparing yourself and God has said, don't compare yourself, would that be sin? It would be missing it. We don't want to go there. Just do what He said to do. It so easily ensnares us. But if we know, just say, I'm not going to do that. I'm staying over here because this is the best way. I'm going to stay on the straight and narrow. the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race set before us. Not the race set before our neighbor, not the race set before some person we follow on national TV, the race set before us. This race, the race that is marked out, that the Holy Spirit has told us to run, the one that we're equipped to run, because we're not equipped to run anybody else's race. And what did he say in verse 2 as we're running this race? Looking unto Jesus. Not looking unto our neighbor. Not looking unto the guy down the road. Not looking on the web for somebody else and what they're doing, but looking unto Jesus, the head of the church, the one who we take our orders from, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, or held lightly the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. So who's to be our example? Jesus. Jesus walked, he ran his race. He didn't get distracted by other people telling him what he should do or shouldn't do. He just said, I am going to run this race for the joy set before him, and he held lightly the shame that he was going to endure. We should hold lightly the things that are going to try to hold us back and say, no, I'm running this race. I'm going down this path. I'm going to do what God has called me to do. I'm not going to let anybody or anyone distract me or get me down from what distract me from what he's told me to do. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah.